I thought we could discuss the next verse from what we discussed yesterday. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2. Text 48, fantastic. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yogaksta Kuru Karmani. Sangam Chaktva Dhananjaya. Siddhya Siddhyo Samo Bhutva. Samatvam Yoga Uchate. Again, one more time. Yogaksta Kuru Karmani. Sangam Chaktva Dhananjaya. Siddhya Siddhyo Samo Bhutva. Samatvam Yoga Uchate. And word for word. Yogaksta. Equipoised. Kuru. Perform. Karmani. Your duties. Sangam, attachment. Chaktva, giving up. Dhananjaya, O Arjuna. Siddhi asiddhayo, in success and failure. Samaha, equipoised. Bhutva, becoming. Samatvam, equanimity. Yogaha, yoga. Uchate, is called. Translation, perform your duty equipoised, O Arjuna, abandoning all attachment to success or failure. Such equanimity is called yoga. Purport. Arjuna, Krishna tells Arjuna that he should act in yoga. And what is that? Yoga. Yoga means to concentrate the mind upon the Supreme by controlling the ever-disturbing senses. And who is the Supreme? The Supreme is the Lord. And because he himself is telling Arjuna to fight, Arjuna has nothing to do with the results of the fight. Gain or victory are Krishna's concern. Arjuna is simply advised to act according to the dictation of Krishna. The following of Krishna's dictation is real yoga, and this is practiced in the process called Krishna consciousness. By Krishna consciousness only can one give up the sense of proprietorship? One has to become the servant of Krishna, or the servant of the servant of Krishna. That is the right way to discharge duty in Krishna consciousness, which alone can help one to act in yoga. Arjuna is a Kshatriya, and as such, he is participating in the Varnashram Dharma institution. It is said in the Vishnu Purana that in the Varnashrama Dharma, the whole aim is to satisfy Vishnu. No one should satisfy himself, as is the rule in the material world, but one should satisfy Krishna. So unless one satisfies Krishna, one cannot correctly observe the principles of Varnashram Dharma. Indirectly, Arjuna was advised to act as Krishna told him. yogaksa kuru karmani sangam chaktva dhananjaya siddhya siddhyo samo bhutva samatvam yoga uchite. Perform your prescribed duty, O Arjuna, abandoning all attachment to success or failure. Such equanimity is called yoga. This verse is an extension of the message of the previous verse. Naturally, Krishna is establishing a certain teaching or message, and the message is sequential. So, yesterday evening, we discussed the mandate that Krishna gave to Arjuna. You have the adhikar to perform your prescribed duty. You have that qualification. But then he gave three do nots. Do and do not, do not, do not. Don't be attached to the fruits. Don't consider yourself the cause of the fruits of your work. Nor ever be attached to non-performance of your prescribed duty. So this verse is extending that message. If you're not attached to the fruits, then how does that play out? What does that look like in everyday life? And what Krishna is saying here is siddhi asiddhiyo, whether there is success or failure. Like yesterday evening, there was some discussion, how do we live our life if we don't have any goals in life? If you're not supposed to be attached, then you just do your duty and whatever happens, happens. And that's not what the message is. You should have goals. Whether that goal is achieved or that goal is not achieved, that's in Krishna's hand. Or as I said yesterday, I was thinking as I was reading the verse in purport today, the results department is Krishna's. The service department is ours. So we shouldn't try to do Krishna's job. He takes care of the results. We should have a goal in mind. Achieve pure devotional service, or some goal that you like, and you strive to achieve that goal. Short term, long term, and all those kinds of things. Like in our GBC meetings, we have strategic planning, and you all know what those things are because you do in your corporate life. You know, SMART goals and objectives and all those nice terms. We use those terms. So we have goals, we have objectives, we have practical plans to implement. So we have a goal. We want to make an offering to Krishna. We want to have a nice something festival. Like you just had, we all observed a Govardhan Puja festival. And so someone's making the plan for the decoration of the altar, and someone's making the plan of what the feast will be, and someone's making the plan of what the circumambulation of Govardhan will be for the public, and how we'll manage the crowd and where the parking will be, and so many details of the plan for the festival. And we make arrangements for advertising and receiving the guests. And then it rains. course, it rains all the time here in Seattle. But, you know, something comes up that seems to, like, put an obstacle and makes us have to change the plan somehow. Anyway, without looking just to embellish by example, we make a plan, we execute the plan the best we can, we carry out our activity carefully and with the intent of serving Krishna nicely. And then there may be apparent success or apparent failure. Something that Prabhupada taught us is the endeavor is the success. Nice. Like with book distribution, because many of us, our lives are simply distributing Prabhupada's books. So we'd make a plan to go and distribute many books, and maybe many books were distributed, and maybe not so many were distributed. So we're not, our happiness is not success, and our sadness is not, oh, it didn't happen that way. Everyone today said no instead of yes. But the endeavor is the perfection. The endeavor is the satisfaction. Striving according to our means, capacity, intelligence, ability, resources, striving in whatever it is that we do. Our taking care of our family or whatever it is. Developing one's career or taking an exam in school or whatever it is that our lives are about. The success or failure is in Krishna's hand. And in that way, where does our focus go? It's not on the outcome, because the outcome is up to Krishna. Where our attention goes is performing our duty very nicely, in such a way that the endeavor of trying very much to please Krishna, it's pleasing to Krishna. And for whatever his reasons, it may be more than we expected. It may be whatever it may be. Prabhupada spoke about that in his own life. He carried out the order of his spiritual master simply because he loved his spiritual master, and his spiritual master gave him some indication of what he wanted him to do, and so he carried that out. And Prabhupada expressed, far beyond my imagination or expectation, so many things came. He had no idea. What he had the idea of was there's a duty given to him by his spiritual master, and he made his sincere most effort to achieve that, and came out even more than he expected, far more than he had expected. He told the devotees on a number of occasions that before coming to your country, America, my Guru Maharaj had sent some of his leading sannyasis to go to England and establish the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, and they came back empty-handed. It was a major undertaking. He said, Bhaktisiddhanta said, every one of the temples should give something in order that these sannyasis can go and make their successful effort. He wanted like a little tax, everybody to assist in. And there was a big ceremony, the launching of these two sannyasis to go and performed the service, and it was strongly built up by the founder Acharya, Gaudiya Math's leader, and they came back with the sad news. The people were saying impossible. So Prabhupada said, "I thought that was going to be their response to me also." As soon as I started to say, the practice of Krishna consciousness requires these four regular principles, these four restrictions, people would say, go back to India. We can't do that here. course, he didn't immediately. You know the story of how Prabhupada established the regular principles? Nice. 26 Second Avenue, every evening, not every evening, three nights a week, they would have kirtan, long kirtan. And then Prabhupada would speak briefly, half hour, 20 minutes, half hour, maximum, and then serve prasadam, three nights of the week. And slowly, the number of persons came forward, and they became regular, and they became committed to the practices of Krishna consciousness. And then, after some time, Brahmananda, the president of that 26 Second Avenue Center, said, "Swamiji, aren't we supposed to be following some restrictions?" And Prabhupada said, "Yes. I'll give them to you tomorrow." And the next morning, there was a bulletin board as you walk in 26 Second Avenue storefront, and on the left-hand side of the wall, there was a bulletin board, and Prabhupada, in his own handwriting, wrote the four regular principles and the Hare Krishna mantra. And before that, they had never heard them before because Prabhupada never gave them. But when they were sufficiently purified, he didn't lay down the law right away, but when they were sufficiently purified and were capable and even eager to hear what restrictions they should follow, he gave them the restrictions. Of course, thereafter, persons came to understand what the four rules and regulations were, the regular principles. So, he didn't get a go back to India message right away. He was, persons were attracted by the happiness of the congregational chanting of the holy name and Prabhupada's association. Very much attracted. And in that way, the Krishna consciousness movement began to grow. But the attachment was not simply upon some outcome, some result, some numbers. Of course he wanted, because that was the mission. But the if it didn't come, it wasn't failure. He knew, and he expressed, this is pleasing to my spiritual master, making this endeavor. In the purport, Prabhupada speaks about proprietorship, which has something to do with considering oneself to be the cause of the result or the enjoyer of the result. So, proprietorship is a very important topic to consider. For example, in Ishopanishad, the one of the foremost Upanishad that Srila Prabhupada translated into English, the main theme of Ishopanishad is proprietorship. Prabhupada writes that depending upon the concept of proprietorship, there are whole governmental organizations or structures based upon the concept of proprietorship in the governmental structure of a king, for example. The king is the proprietor. And then under the king there are landlords or those who look after some part of the king's kingdom. And then people that may do the agriculture on some part of the king's land, then they're duty-bound to give some percentage of what they produce from the land to the king as tax. And thus the king would have his wealth and his treasury. Or capitalism says There's proprietorship that's in the hand of the capitalist, the one who finances the activity in the land. And then communism says the people are the proprietor, or the state is the proprietor of everything. And the military rulers, everything is mine. Might is right. I control, I own. So, based upon different conceptions of proprietorship, we have different organizational structures, and then a clash between this conception of that conception of proprietorship. And so it goes that there's wars between this proprietor or no, that proprietor group of individuals as proprietors. And Ishopanishad proposes what Prabhupada calls God communism. It's an interesting way of thinking of God consciousness, is everything belongs to God, including ourselves. So whatever it is that we have in front of us, it's the property of God. And we accept, in the language of Ishopanishad, we accept that which is given to us by God as our quota, and we don't accept other things, knowing well that they belong to God. Even the things that we accept, it's God's arrangement for us, it's His property, and it's our arrangement for our necessities. But it's still the property of God. And otherwise, everything else is God's property. It's for His other part and parcel living entities, for their maintenance, and so on. Krishna is the proprietor. So apply that principle of proprietorship to work. And where does the ability to work come from? Where does the ingredients that we use to do our work come from? Where does the intelligence come from? Where does, since all of those, the answer is everything, all of those suppliers is one, is God, then the result belongs to Him. If the result belongs to Him, then it's up to Him how it comes out. From my side, I do my best. From His side, He makes it come out however He likes it to make it come out. The spiritual conception of proprietorship. The spiritual conception of proprietorship doesn't make one lazy. Somebody might argue, oh, if everything is depending upon Krishna, how it comes out, then I can just take it easy. I can relax because it's up to Krishna anyway. But that's not the spiritual conception of service. The spiritual conception of service is, since it is for the pleasure of Krishna, we must endeavor even more. As Prabhupada explains it this way, there's no complacency. One may think that because if I'm working for myself, I'll work very hard. He would sometimes use this expression, proprietorship turns sawdust into gold. You've heard that one before? If something belongs to somebody else, let's say you're a worker in a company, and if you're just a worker in the company, then you work, you know, to your capacity. But if you're the proprietor, you work very hard. If some asset is given, some project is given to someone, and okay, you're in charge of this, it's yours, then they apply themselves assiduously, very, very conscientiously, because proprietor turns sawdust into gold. Or, running. I used to think about this in regards to Indian Airlines or Air India, because it's a government airlines. It's la-di-da. But if it's owned by a private company, then it's not la-di-da, because that's we have to make it work because it's our livelihood, not just I'm a government employee and whatever happens, happens. But when you're working for Krishna, if he's the proprietor and we're the servant working for the proprietor, because it's for Krishna, we're more conscientious than we would if it's for ourselves. Because it's for Krishna. Because it's for Krishna. We take special care of that which is for Krishna or belonging to Krishna. It's of Krishna. That's the mindset of Krishna's devotee. So it doesn't, in other words, thinking in terms of it's on Krishna's account doesn't make one complacent or lazy or careless. One becomes even more conscientious if one is acting in Krishna consciousness. And this is samatvam. Sama means equal. Samatvam means having the quality of being equal-minded. So this is chapter 2. And chapter 6 especially speaks about this being equal in different aspects of duality. So what happens in duality? Sometimes it's hot, sometimes it's cold, sometimes it's light, sometimes it's dark, sometimes there's happiness, sometimes there's distress, sometimes there's honor, sometimes there's dishonor. In the world of duality, there are going to be these opposites and sometimes extremes. One who is fixed in the absolute isn't moved by duality. They're samatvam. They remain equal, equipoised in all circumstances. Prabhupada's point in the purport is that's not possible. Being equipoised is not possible without a frame of reference or a point of reference that's absolute, not part of duality. Which is something that we heard in those invocation verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. That's Krishna's position. He's beyond duality. Since he's beyond duality and one becomes attached to him, then samatvam. One can be equal, whether it's this or that. My conceptions of life and my conceptions of happiness, my conceptions of reality, are not based upon the material energy, the configuration of the material energy today. Oh, I like this one. I don't like that one. It's unchanging because the focus is on service to Krishna. So this is very early in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2. But Krishna is presenting this understanding of being equal in all circumstances. That the section begins, I'll end with this message. The section begins where in verse 39, not so many verses before this one, 48. In verse 39, Krishna says, so far I've described Sankhya, now I'm going to describe Bodhi Yoga. Bodhi Yoga, Bodhi means intelligence, where one vyavasayatmika bodhi ekeha kuru nandana, where one's intelligence is fixed and one's deliberations are fixed. And in the course of doing all types of activity in the world of variety, world of duality, I'm doing all types of activity, but my consciousness is fixed because it's fixed upon Krishna's to be served by everything that I do. He's the enjoyer. He's the master. The point is, if one doesn't have that frame of reference, then you can't be fixed. You're not samatvam. You'll be moved by the circumstance. things are going very nicely. I'm happy. Things are very difficult. I've become unhappy and maybe discouraged and very sad. Those circumstances are not part of the experience of one who's fixed in devotion to Krishna. So Krishna is elaborating or expanding on that message here in this verse. Buddhi Yoga. Hare Krishna. So any discussion? Comments? Nothing? Okay. Yeah. You're on.
Maharaj, the poor Sama, every voice cannot be sometimes confused or translated as neutral.
Yes, neutral also.
I succeed or I fail, so I'm okay either way.
Yes. Neutral indicates how you regard things. Towards this or towards that, I'm neutral. Which is very similar to equipoised. Equipoise, at least to me, there's a connotation of, there's a strong foundation or base or centeredness. Equipoised. Internally, there's like ballast. Let's say, you have a big ship and the waves are moving, but because there's very strong ballast at the bottom of the ship, it moves less. Or the example that Krishna gives in Bhagavad Gita of the lotus flower that grows above the surface of the water, and even the surface of the water is disturbed because of the wind, the lotus flower remains undisturbed because it's not resting on the surface of the water, although it's growing out of the water. Oh, equipoise. It remains balanced, steady. Equipoised. And neutral is, I don't feel this way or that way towards, something. The pebbles is stone or gold. Neutral.
So another question is, for example, let's say one devotee is going through so much anxiety because he's in charge of organizing some big festival to propagate his consciousness. And we see another devotee very peacefully chanting his rounds and basically not doing anything but just chanting. So in this situation, who is more, satisfying more Krishna?
Who is more satisfied?
Who is satisfying more Krishna? Who is pleasing more Krishna?
Yeah, I understand your question. Let me contemplate. I'm thinking of an example where Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had one disciple who very much liked to chant. I think it was Krishnadas, and later he became Krishnadas Babaji, I think. But in any case, he liked to chant. And then there were devotees, wherever he would stay, whichever temple he was in, the devotees wished to engage him in activities in the temple, and he was happy just chanting. So the devotees brought this concern to Bhaktisiddhanta and said, he's a nice man, but he doesn't help us with all the duties that we have to do here in the temple. And Bhakti Siddhanta spoke in praise that if we could put an ad in the newspaper and ask someone, you come here and just chant, we'll take care of everything, just come and chant, no one will respond to that in the newspaper. So to find somebody, because no one is able to do that. But if we find someone that's factually able to as Krishna Das is doing, to literally just be fully absorbed in the holy name all day long, that's wonderful. Then I'll say something on the other side. There was one disciple of Srila Prabhupada, his name was Vishal. And he was one, something like what you were describing. He would never do anything. He was always had his hand in his bead bag and was walking around and having conversations and, you know, blah, blah. But and he asked him to do any practical service and he would smile and tilt his head and say, I have to finish my rounds, Prabhu. And all day long, that's what he did, every day. He was there in time for prasadam, but he didn't have time to go help in the kitchen to cut the vegetables or clean the pots because he had to chant his rounds, Prabhu. So, I remember on one morning walk, Prabhupada was leaving Vrindavan temple, and there was a whole entourage of devotees, and there's the main gate at the Vrindavan temple, and he was waiting at the main gate and paid obeisances in such a manner that everybody had to stop because he was right in the way of everybody going out on the morning walk. And Prabhupada put his cane down and waited till Vishal to get up, and big smile, kind of like a pudgy fellow, Dori, and, you know, folding his hands, and Prabhupada just looked at him and said, Vishal, why don't you do something useful? And just kept walking. As he knew. I mean, I don't know if they even bothered to bring the complaint of Vishal doesn't do anything to him. He just knew it. Everyone knew it. This doesn't do anything. But in the contrasting situation, one is factually absorbed and tasting the holy name and happy, just simply chanting. And his kirtans, similarly because of his taste in chanting, were just ecstatic. Everyone loved his kirtans. He was famous for his wonderful kirtans. And otherwise he loved to chant, and all day long, day after day, chanting. So that's one, that's pleasing to Krishna. And one who's in the name of, I have to finish my rounds, Prabhu, not doing any practical activity. That's something else. Then we go the other way with somebody that just lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of service and very little attraction for the chanting of Krishna's holy name and the taste for hearing and chanting. Right in the Bhagavatam it says, Swanus tatak pungsang vishvaksena katasa yat notpadiyad yati ratim shrama evi kevalam. If the fruit of one's activity is absent the attraction for the topics of Krishna, hearing and chanting about Krishna, then that activity is only so much useless labor. Meaning, the real fruit of the activity is to develop an attraction for Krishna and the topics of Krishna and Krishna's holy name. So you can look at it from both sides, which is most pleasing to Krishna, that we're absorbed in the thought and remembrance and service of Krishna. According to our nature, according to our capacity. Okay. Anything else? Yes.
Maharaj. Thank you very much. Can I say the success or failure, what we are saying, are we attached to success or failure when it says attachment? So we just basically don't bother if things happen, happen. If things fail, fail.
You what?
Like if the success or failure where it's saying that in attachment.
Yeah.
So do we basically become careless? Is that...
No. I just started off with that one. That's why, rather than neutral, equipoised. It's neutral might mean, oh, I don't care if it comes out nice or if it doesn't come out nice. I'm neutral. After all, it's up to Krishna anyways. So I don't, you know, I'm neutral. The arti can start on time or not on time. We can, whatever you think of, you know, be able to pay our bills or not be able to pay our bills. I'm neutral. That's the, you know, that it may convey, I don't care. I'm not conscientious. I'm being Krishna conscious neutral. that's not Krishna conscious neutral. But equipoised is while making my full, honest, sincere, earnest endeavor, if it goes this way, if it goes that way, I remain equipoised. That's the, whether it's the apparent success or apparent failure, I remain equipoised. Yes.
Yeah, it's on.
Just after.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Thank you for your class. Maharaj, I wanted to ask you a question about when we are, at the time that we are having dualities, and our consciousness becomes absorbed in the dualities, we're not obviously in Krishna consciousness, we're absorbed in the dualities.
Right.
And so, it seems like either or.
No. There are degrees. It's not either or means on or off. We're either on or off. But it degrees. There's a light switch in the wall. It's on or off. But there's other light switches that are dimmer switches. You've heard of that before? Boop, 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 boop. There's degrees of illumination. And that's more like what things are. It's not just on or off. We're either pure devotees or we're in the gutter. It's in degrees.
My other question is there a specific like a prayer that would help us to elevate the consciousness during the time?
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Which means, please engage me in your service. There's another much longer, very nice prayer by Prahlad Maharaj that you'll find in the fifth canto. You can look it up. The title of it, the title of the chapter is Prayers by the Residents of Jambudweep. And it's a prayer by Prahlad Maharaj to Lord Nrisingadev, where he prays to Lord Nrisingadev to remove with his sharp nails and teeth and claws to uproot from his heart all the impurity that's there, leaving him with a purified, cleansed heart. So that's a nice prayer too. It's those impurities that are keeping us away from the light being fully on. So move to that position. Cultivate that position. Pray to Lord Srinidhe, pray to Krishna for helping you come to that position. Okay, thank you very much. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.